this is Chief Judge Janet DeFiore. Over the past few months, the Gender Fairness Committee of the 3rd Judicial District, chaired by former Albany City Court Judge Rachel Kretzer, has produced a documentary about the pioneering women judges of the 7-county 3rd Judicial District. 9 groundbreaking judges were interviewed. Mae D'Agostino, judge of the United States District Court for the Northern District of New York; Catherine Doyle, former surrogate of Albany County; Victoria Graffio, former judge of the New York Court of Appeals; Helena Heath, judge of the Albany City Court; Rachel Kretzer, former judge of the Albany City Criminal Court; Karen Peters, the presiding justice of the Appellate Division 3rd Department; Beverly Tobin, former judge of the Albany County Family Court; Mary Work, former surrogate of Ulster County; and Deborah Young, judge of the Rensselaer County Court. Throughout the month of March, Women's History Month, we will share these interviews through our Amici podcasts. I think you will find the interviews of these trailblazing women to be both enlightening and inspiring.
One instance of it stands out in my mind. Again, I was trying to look very professional. My client was a woman who had walked in off the street, and she needed help. She wanted to file a paternity suit, and so I, of course, agreed to help her out, and she and I went into the courtroom. I was all dressed up trying to look professional, and she was missing a few front teeth and was dressed shabbily, and it was one of the older judges on the bench at that time. And he looked at the two of us and he said, "Okay, now, which of you is the client?"
Welcome to Amici, news and insight from the New York State Judiciary and the Unified Court System. I'm John Carr. In today's program, Ann Wazilewski of the Office of Court Administration interviews retired Albany County Family Court Judge Beverly Tobin. Ann interviewed the judge on November 18, 2016, as part of a 3rd Judicial District Gender Fairness Committee project on pioneering women jurists in the region. Toward the end of the interview with Judge Tobin, the first elected family court judge in the 7-county district, Albany County Judge Rachel Kretzer asked a few questions herself. Judge Kretzer chairs the 3rd Judicial District Gender Fairness Committee. What follows is the audio portion of that interview.
Now, where did you get the idea that a young woman could be a lawyer?
It all began with my father. My father was an immigrant, and he came to this country with nothing but the clothes on his back, really, at the age of 3. And he believed that education was the great equalizer. And he had no preconceived ideas. He told me later that there was any difference between a man and a woman doing that. He put himself through college, through graduate school. He taught college, and then he came to Albany. He went to Albany Law School. He told me that a woman could have a family and be a lawyer, and he told me a woman should always be able to take care of herself, never be dependent on any man for taking care of her or for support for her and a family. And so I never wanted to do anything else. I listened to my father, and that was how it all began.
Thank you. And who were your role models?
Well, my father certainly was one of my role models. He, because he had worked hard all his life, and he cared so much about his clients. I remember his going out to see his clients at night, you know, when they were unable to come to the office. And also my husband. I think my husband has been a great inspiration to me. He is a hard-working, his integrity is unimpeachable. He worked very hard and very diligently. And he was a sitting judge at one point himself. So he certainly has been a role model for me.
Thank you. what made you decide to pursue a legal career?
I went for the legal career because of the things that I said about my father. I knew it was a way to help people. I felt obligated to do something for the country. I know that sounds kind of Pollyanna-ish, but I think everyone needs to do something productive for society, and that, plus my father's influence, what made me decide to do that.
You were the only female, I believe, in the Albany Law School class of 1962.
Mm-hmm.
What was the law experience like for you back in 1962?
We started the class of 1962 from the Albany Law School started with 108 students. There were four women. We graduated with 42 members of the class. And in the second and the third year, I was the only woman. It was, I just didn't think anything of it. The men, they treated me like their sister. So I can't say that there was ever any problem. The professors in general were good. There was one who had a daughter a little bit younger than I, and I asked him how she was doing in school and was she coming to law school. And he said, oh, no, never. So that was, I think that was the, a couple of the professors there weren't pleased that I was there.
All right, and this is, I guess, you answered the question, but did the professors treat you with respect or as someone who was taking a seat that a man could have had?
I never had any of them treat me with disrespect or in any way indicate that the professor felt that a man would be better in that seat.
When you were admitted in the early 1960s, what was the environment like for female attorneys in the Capital Region?
There were not that many female attorneys in the Capital Region when I was admitted. I think I was the only one in the group that came here to the Appellate Division. My husband and I were admitted together. And then I went to practice law with my father. And so I had a place to go. My husband was going to be practicing, but not with us, he was. And I think the biggest thrill that I can tell you about being admitted was being admitted to the Supreme Court of the United States. And when I went in to that admission, I was very pregnant, and it was Justice Douglas, and he greeted the people who were being admitted at that time, and he said, Mrs. Tobin and gentlemen, welcome to the court. And I was puffed up over that one, in more ways than one.
No, thank you. Did you encounter any gender bias when you were out working as an attorney? Any gender bias?
Gender bias, when I was first admitted, one instance of it stands out in my mind. Again, I was trying to look very professional. My client was a woman who had walked in off the street, and she needed help. She wanted to file a paternity suit, and so I, of course, agreed to help her out, and she and I went into the courtroom. I was all dressed up trying to look professional, and she was missing a few front teeth and was dressed shabbily, and it was one of the older judges on the bench at that time, and he looked at the two of us and he said, okay, now which of you is the client? And that was the only time that I can remember ever having any I don't want to say embarrassing moment, because I wasn't embarrassed. I think I was more angry than anything else at that point in time. But other than that, no. I asked my husband, do you ever remember my complaining about anything as far as gender was concerned? And he said, no. But then my father had been practicing law in downtown Albany. My husband and I were newly admitted, and we were practicing in downtown Albany. And I think that we were known in the legal community.
Okay. Thank you. How about any sexual harassment?
No. No, I don't believe that I ever encountered any sexual harassment at all. Not while practicing.
Now, you spent 17 years in the Division for Youth. What led you to that vocation in helping youth?
Well, I was always interested in youth and youth problems. And my interest led me to that. I was called on the telephone and asked if I would like a position with the New York State Division for Youth. And it sounded intriguing. It offered me the opportunity to get into the state, to the state retirement system. My father was getting older, and it appeared to me that it would be a good opportunity for me. I needed regular hours. As I said, my father had us out at night visiting clients and whatever. So there were a lot of reasons, and that's why I did that. It was a perfect background for family court, juvenile justice law. It really worked out.
Thank you. And how did you balance career and family?
Oh, balancing career and family. Well, I think probably I had it much easier nowadays. It was difficult, but I had a lady come in, I had three kids, and when I was with my father, of course, there was no problem. If I had any issue, my father was there to take care of it. But then when I went to work for the Division for Youth, of course, I had regular hours, etc. I had a lady come in. In those days, you could have a lady come in at a respectable amount of money and work out. And then after the kids got in school, my blessed mother, I tell you, she was so good. Doctor's appointments, somebody gets sick at school, orthodontic appointments, whatever. My mother took care of it. So I think I had a lot easier than women do now.
How did you position yourself to become the first woman family court judge in the region? And were you politically involved?
Not with a capital P, really. I read a book about family court in the city of New York. And this is while I was working for the Division for Youth. And I said, I can do a better job than that. And then I heard that one of the judges was retiring. And I went to see the Democratic, Albany County Democratic chairman, and I said, I would be interested in that position. And he asked me why and what my background was. And at that point, I had been president of the Albany Law School Alumni Association. I was on the Appellate Division Character and Fitness Committee. I was in an Albany County Bar Committee and on a couple of boards. And so I had a lot of community involvement. And these things that I was doing involved law. They involved families. And I thought that I had the background to be able to do it. And so I asked for their nomination, and it was given to me.
What year did you first run for office, and with a gender a detriment or a benefit?
I first ran for office in 1988, and I think that all of these things, well, first of all, I think that the Albany County Democratic Committee had determined that it was time for a woman. And because of my background with the Division for Youth, working downtown in private law practice and these community things in which I had been involved, I think that all helped that they gave me the nomination. And it was time for a woman. It really was. Madonna Gandhi had been on the city court, and there had been a woman in family court for 6 months appointed way back when, but it was definitely time for a woman. And I had three kids. I was obviously interested in what I was doing at the background. So I was fortunate.
And how were you treated when you first arrived?
How was I treated when I first arrived? Very welcoming. I knew the people. And so it just all seemed to flow. It did not seem like I had never really set out to be a judge. It just all came together at the same time, really. So I didn't give it much thought about settling in.
You were the only female judge, or one of the very, very few, for quite a while. Was it lonely?
No, there were other women judges at the time, so that I did not feel lonely about it. There weren't too many, but the men were welcoming. I had known most of them before I became a judge, and the ones that were newly judges themselves, the family court judges, I always felt welcome.
What was your reaction when Judith Kate was appointed to the Court of Appeals?
Oh, I was absolutely delighted. I was just, she was certainly a role model for all of us, too. But I have to say, when Mae D'Agostino went to federal court, that I thought was wonderful. I mean, because of just for a woman to get a federal court appointment at that point in time was great.
Okay. How was the environment for women different when you retired than when you began your career?
The environment has certainly changed from there being one member of a graduating class, of course you have to remember that was 54 years ago, to the women being the majority of the students in the law school at this point in time. And so that alone, I think, is such a big thing. And when Judge Kaye and Judge D'Agostino both became judges, I think that the whole world opened up for women. The women saw themselves as able to do that. And I think that was part of the benefit for women in the law profession.
And what would you say to the next generation of women attorneys, the people who are maybe not just starting law school? So what would you say to the next generation of women attorneys?
To the next generation of women attorneys, I would say become involved. Become involved in things in your community that give you an idea what area of law you want to participate in. You need to know whether you like people or not, whether you are someone who is going to be able to get along with your fellow attorneys. I think that's probably the best that I can tell you at this point in time.
What do they need to know about the Ann Old date?
I'm afraid I'm a poor one to answer that because I don't remember any bad old days. I always loved what I was doing. I never felt that anyone was holding anything against me professionally because of what I was doing. So I'm sorry, I can't give you a good answer to that.
What do they need to do to continue the progress for those who follow them?
Women who are starting out in law, in order to give good example, they have to follow the age-old precepts of integrity, honesty, compassion. They have to do what they know is right. I don't think there's really anything new under the sun about that. You know, you just have to do your best at all times and put the rest of the world before your own self.
How has the increased presence of women impacted the legal profession and the judiciary?
Well, the increased number of women in the judiciary, I think, has been certainly a good thing. There are biological differences between men and women mentally. I believe that each gender brings necessary components to things. That may not be what everyone wants to hear, but I do think that we need perspective of both men and women.
What changes have you observed in the way women attorneys are treated in court? You mentioned the first time you appeared in court with your client. So what changes do you see now,
Judge? I've been retired for, how many years, 12, 14 years now. And so I have not been in the courtroom to be able to give you a good report on that, on how women are treated differently. I know I certainly would never have treated anyone differently, regardless. I can tell you that my husband and his firm hire women. My father, when I left, he hired other women. So I don't believe that there has been bias in the hiring practice, but as I said, and in the courtroom, but as I said, I've been out of touch for a bit.
Are there any aspects of how women are treated in the legal profession or the judiciary that you still feel needs improvement?
I can't answer as far as the women in the judiciary at this point in time. It's been too many years for me to give you a good answer to that.
What should women now entering the profession know about the struggles of the past, and what obligation do they have to further blaze trails for those who follow?
Women who are entering the profession now, I remember when I first got out of law school, this is way back, and after I'd been in practice about 10 years, some woman came up to me and she said, "Oh, Mrs. Tobin, we younger women appreciate what you pioneers did." And I thought, and I looked at her, and I thought, I was not a pioneer. I guess maybe I was, but I never thought of myself as a pioneer. I never thought of myself as being different from the men with whom I was practicing. And to repeat myself before, I think what they have to do is do their best and follow the law, follow their conscience, give it their all.
Were you treated differently than your male colleagues, either on the bench or as an attorney? I know I was. The instances of outright sexual discrimination or sexual harassment were rare, if at all, for me, but I know that I was treated somewhat differently in little ways, like first name basis, where it's, you know, Mr. So-and-so, dear, you know, constantly, I would get constantly dear when I said what I did for a living back in the late 70s. Oh, you don't look like a lawyer. You know, all these little things that... Do you think you encountered any little differences in treatment looking back on it?
Looking back, if someone called me dear, I probably ignored it. But I don't remember instances of that. But I had a benefit of having my father and having my husband around me as I was practicing. And that was certainly a great benefit. I mean, you know, they knew us. We were kind of like a trio. And so I just never encountered that. In law school, I did encounter problems. The men had a huge, big lounge. The women had the ladies' room with three lockers, one for each of us in each of the classes. There were three women when I graduated, the freshman, the junior, and then I was the senior and the graduate. And so, but we laughed that off. The room was big enough for the three of us, and we weren't playing cards in between class. So that worked out all right. When I was on the Appellate Division Character and Fitness Committee, I did encounter discrimination, but it wasn't by the Office of Court Administration or by the committee. It was by the Fort Orange Club. And they took us to lunch after the Character and Fitness Committee meeting was over. And they smuggled me in the back door of the Fort Orange Club and up the stairs. But then, you know, you take it as it comes.
Were you given maternity leave?
Oh, maternity leave. Oh, I was well past all of that, I think, before, when I was pregnant, I was, three times, I was always working for my father. So if I had any morning sickness or anything, I'd call up and say, "Daddy, I'm going to be a little late this morning." So, I really was blessed with an easier environment for the practice of law than young women after me. Oh, that's in those days, if you were expecting, and that's what we call them hatching jackets. And what it was a jacket, but it flared out, and you wore it over a skirt. And the skirt had an expandable placket in the front, and the jacket just fit down over the top. And we had them for all occasions. And mine, of course, were always very sedate and very dark. So it worked out well. No one ever questioned my being a lawyer. Maybe one or two lawyers downtown at some time or other said, why don't you retire and go enjoy yourself? What are you still doing around here or something, you know? But that was rare, and I considered this worse.
Thanks for listening to Amici. If you have a suggestion for a topic on Amici, please contact me, John Carr, at 518-453-8669, or send me a note at jcaher@nycourts.gov. In the meantime, stay tuned.